One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hey guys, it's Candace.
And it's Elena.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime. Okay, part three. Just quickly, when I was just in there doing a whiz, I was like, I gotta know what this candle is called. So I gently lifted the lit candle so as not to like drop a lit candle on my face.
Or burn your hands.
Right. And so it's called Sweet Grace.
Sweet Grace.
Sweet Grace. Lena has this candle from the Bridgewater Candle Company. Shout out. The scent is Sweet Grace, and I'm going to go order it as soon as we're done. But I just thought we'd start off on a delicious note because it's going to get rough.
Okay.
We are concluding Peter Curtin this week. I promise you.
Mm-hmm. She told us lies last week.
I am so sorry. I am so sorry that you have to sit through another one of these episodes. Like, I just want to give the victims their time to shine.
Okay.
So in part two, we discussed the murders, the attacks, and we left you with the murders of two little sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you guys that the same day that those bodies were found, a 26-year-old named Gertrude Schulte, a domestic servant, was also attacked. She was walking along a path through the market with a man calling himself Baumgart.
Oh.
Now, I don't know if she knew the man. I don't think she knew him at all. I think it was just, you know, like when you're like walking into the store and someone's kind of like walking alongside of you, or you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Well, I can imagine like a hustle bustle marketplace. It was kind of cramped. So they were just walking alongside each other, and he began to talk to her. So he ended up leading her off of the path into a field.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if he, like, wooed her or she was like, oh, okay, I'll go with you or whatever.
Mm. I got some puppies over here.
Yeah. I've got some candy in my van. But he led her out into this field, and he tried to, like, put the moves on her.
Oh.
And she literally said to him, I'd rather die.
Oh.
she said, I'd rather die. And he plunged a knife into her throat and said, then you shall die.
Oh.
So he continued to stab her multiple times until the knife blade broke off.
Terrible. Oh my.
Yes. Now, just like in the other case we talked about, a group of people were standing by, like really close by. This was very similar to the one of Johannes's in our last episode that we talked about. Now, a group of people were nearby. They heard this woman screaming and they ran towards her. So Peter took off. She had been stabbed 3 times in the head. 6 stab wounds were in her neck, shoulder, and chest. And the deepest stab wound was between her first and second lumbar vertebrae.
Ugh.
And that's the one where the knife had broken off.
Oh, my goodness.
Thankfully, she survived.
What?
Gertrude Schulte.
Wow.
And she provided police with a description of the man who attacked her, which was completely normal and pleasant looking.
Oh.
Maybe about 40. That was the extent of what that she could give them. I mean, she wasn't with him for very long.
Yeah.
So the vicious attack on this girl was very concerning to police. There had been multiple attacks and she lived. So they were like,
that's amazing.
Yeah. Her resulting injuries were obviously heinous. And let's not forget, the day before, two children were murdered. Yes. So the police were all over it. And they had that blade.
Uh-huh.
So September 30th, just around the corner from this attack, 1929, the body of a servant girl, Ida Reuter, was found in a meadow at 7 a.m. Her clothing was in disarray, and she had been posed in a very sexually provocative manner. Her legs were spread, and her genitals were exposed.
Oh.
But it didn't appear that she had suffered a sexual assault. I mean, she was definitely sexually violated,
right,
given the way she was found. But physically, it didn't seem that she had been sexually assaulted. Now, her purse was dumped onto the ground and her panties were missing.
Oh.
There were drag marks through the field indicating a struggle had taken place and that she was likely first attacked somewhere else and drugged to where she was found and posed, of course. Rigor mortis had set in and they could begin to appreciate her wounds. She had several blows to the head with a small blunt object and square-shaped bruising around these wounds overlapping. They concluded that she had died of repeated blows to the head from a hammer. And I know you're like square, but maybe in 1929,
okay, yeah,
the hammerheads had like a little, you know, more of a square pattern.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But to them, it kind of was pretty obvious that a hammer had made those injuries. A couple weeks after Ida was found dead on October 12th, still 1929, the year of
so busy,
the year of the beast, another servant girl was found in bad shape and unconscious in Flingern. She'd appeared to have been drugged and left for dead behind some bushes. Sadly, she never regained consciousness. She was alive when they found her, but she was basically in a coma, and she died the next day.
Oh.
She had the same type of blows to her head that were almost identical to Ida Reuter's, and it's seemingly made from the same weapon, a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the same hammer, it appeared. And she had been sexually assaulted. Now, the night of October 23rd, again, these are just days apart, a week apart, 34-year-old Frau Murer was walking home in the Flingern district. I gotta stop here for a second. I don't know what the police were doing at this time, but like the Flingern district was really having a bad time of it. Like,
well, yeah.
Why weren't they out
patrolling?
Patrolling.
That's a very good question.
Anyway, I just had to interject there. So Frau Murer is walking along when a man starts walking alongside her. She doesn't feel threatened. And he asked her, like, why are you out so late? You know, like there have been attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are you here by yourself?
That's a great question.
Terrible things are happening in this area. She just ignored him and continued walking. And he kind of continued walking next to her. And she doesn't remember anything after that.
Oh.
At some point, she got knocked out.
Wow.
Frau's wounds were very similar to those of the two hammer attacks that had happened in recent weeks.
Mm.
The same evening Frau Murer was attacked, a woman named Frau Wanders.
Oh my goodness.
Was also attacked. She was a sex worker who had often worked in the Dusseldorf city center late at night. She gets this customer that walks up to her, and after discussing a price, her world went dark.
Okay.
Just suddenly, she suffers a blow to the head.
Wow.
That knocked her unconscious. She doesn't remember anything.
Oh my goodness.
Now, when she came to, she went straight to the police, which I'm so proud of her because of the time, you know,
oh, yeah,
sex work was highly frowned upon. It's still highly frowned upon. And you would think, like, it, how much courage it took her to go to the authorities to say, someone just busted me in the head. You know what I mean? Her wounds were also purportedly from a hammer, as well as the other three victims. Like Peter's other survivors, she also gave a very generic description to the police. A nice-looking man.
Ugh.
A non-threatening, nice-looking man, which is everybody, basically. Everybody but Peter, okay? It wouldn't be long before Peter struck again. I bet you were already counting on that. November 7th, Gertrude Alberman, just 5 years old, was last seen around 7 p.m. in the Flingern District. Where are the police in the Flingern District? She was found dead 2 days later, laying against a stone wall in someone's rural property.
Mm.
She had been sexually assaulted and stabbed multiple times. Two to the head, 34 stab wounds to her breast. Nine of which pierced her heart. Nine of those stab wounds pierced her heart. And she suffered stab wounds to her trunk, which penetrated her kidneys. Both of them.
Mm.
Peter was basking in all the buzz around the city. Did you hear they found another body? Someone else was attacked with a hammer. The Dusseldorf murderer struck again. Because now they're calling him the Dusseldorf murderer.
He has a name.
He has got a name. He had his ear pressed up to the sky, just ready to receive any inkling information that people were talking about him, and he was peeling open the newspaper every day to read about his accomplishments.
So gross.
He was, I don't even know if I have to say this, but like, if you're getting Jack the Ripper vibes, Peter loved Jack the Ripper. He aspired to be him, except he, in my opinion, was far more depraved than Jack the Ripper. But he was like, you know what? I'm going to write a letter into a newspaper like Jack the Ripper did. Which,
oh my.
If you know the story of Jack the Ripper, we don't know that Jack the Ripper wrote those letters. Yeah. Like, he gave himself that name. And it's funny that we call him Jack the Ripper, because that was likely not even him. You know what I mean?
Right.
That gave him own self. I don't know. Anyways. So Peter's like, I'm going to write into the communist newspaper in Dusseldorf telling them where to find Gertrude Alberman's body. But by the time they received that letter, they had already found her body.
Oh my goodness.
So they were like, the murderer just wrote us, and like, we had already found her body, but like, they knew where she was. They also received a letter back in October about a body being buried in the woods with a map directing them to the body.
Oh,
I'm buried? Not sure. Yeah. I don't know who received that letter, but they were like, I'm just going to.
No.
Oh, maybe it got covered up by some other files. I don't know.
Are you kidding me?
But. Like, did they forget about the letter? I don't know. Like, I just, do you receive those kind of letters that often that you're just like, oh, another kook.
Oh, what a joke.
But now that they had gotten this letter, they're like, oh crap, we got a letter about a month ago.
Maybe we should take this seriously.
Yeah. So they were like, we better go out and check this. After following the map and digging in the place where they were directed, they found a body.
Mm.
It was a servant girl named Maria Hahn, who had been missing since August.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And she had been reported missing?
Yeah, she'd been reporting missing since August.
Oh.
Considering she'd been there a few months, she was actually pretty well preserved. Maybe it was the soil. I don't know. But
she was buried.
She was buried.
But why bury her?
Lena.
Like, I need to know.
Yeah, we'll get into, like, the fact that he has absolutely seemingly no pattern whatsoever. She was stabbed in the head, neck, and breast. Her injuries were very, very similar to Gertrude Auberman's stab wounds. Mm. Similar area, you know, frenzied.
Mm-hmm.
After discovering Maria Hahn, things got quiet in Dusseldorf for a bit, as far as murders go. Police had started to circle back around to these survivors and be like, can you think of anything else? Like, you know, anything that you might have remembered in the time that we last spoke with you, but they didn't get anything of significance. Nobody remembered anything additional.
I mean, I'd be like, come walk the streets with me. Yeah. And like,
you know, they have done that, like where they do a reenactment.
Yeah.
And they'll have someone pose as like the victim and they'll have witnesses come and witness it. Mm-hmm. So that they, maybe it'll jog some memories.
Well, that too. But I'm thinking walk the streets yeah. with someone, you know, maybe someone in the distance watching mm-hmm. and see if this man walks by again and you yeah. recognize him.
That's what I'm telling you. Like the Flinger District. Why weren't they staked out
yeah.
on every dimly lit street?
Right.
Like, were there two officers in the Flinger
but
District?
But also, why know. Are people still walking around the streets?
I mean, European countries, people don't really drive and you got to walk home from work.
Well, yeah.
You got to
walk
home.
I mean, it's 1929.
I
yes.
know.
Okay,
like,
but.
I know. Listen, you're preaching to the choir. They didn't get any new information from these victims, though. It didn't seem like they were pulling out any of those tactics we were talking about, maybe taking them back to the scene of the crime, see if they remember anything. The press, again, running a new story every day, basically reminding the public of what occurred, incessantly reminding the public that the police were no longer, like, no closer to finding this person. This lunatic, I'm sure police felt just as frustrated
right.
and probably a little embarrassed that they were failing the public.
And Peter's just back there laughing.
Right. And I don't know to like we talked about this. Why aren't they staked out in the Flinger District? I don't know what links they were going to. Like,
right.
I don't know what kind of investigation they did.
They were busy trying to figure out
it's
how
almost,
and who.
That's the thing. It's almost like they were in the PD going, okay, let's find a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were trying to maybe analyze more because there were so many victims, so many different
yeah.
weapons. You got scissors, you got a knife, you got hammer. You know, it's like
yeah.
there really is no pattern. There's like men, women, children.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and the victim profile is seemingly different from day to day. So the deadly fall turned to winter, which gave way to a new decade, 1930.
Mm-hmm.
Now, spring had sprung. It was May 14th, 1930. The bees were a-buzzing, pollinating them flowers that were unfurling, making Dusseldorf maybe feel a bit cheery, you know, cheerier anyways. But there was a young woman named Maria Butleys. She found herself not so cheery. She was down on her luck. She didn't have a job. She had no place to go. And she ended up accepting an offer to stay with a nice-looking man.
No.
She went with Peter to his apartment. And he wasted no time in trying to have sex with her. I mean, he just wasted no time. He's like, okay, can I take your coat? And also, can I take the rest of your clothes? Because I want to have sex with you.
Okay.
But she rebuffed him. I don't know if she said, I would rather die, but like, she was like, no, thanks. And you're probably thinking, I know how this is going to end. And you'd be right. However, instead of just like raping and killing her right there, he said, well, I better find you a different place to stay then.
Please.
Yeah. And she was like, yeah, you better. So he ends up walking her to the train station as if he's going to help her get on her way to a different place. And then he ends up taking her to a nearby wooded area and raped her there.
Oh.
It was like this delaying, I'm going to savor this. Like, I'm going to make her think I'm going to release her, make her think that she's going to get out of this. And then I'm going to do this. Catch her off guard.
you know, it's like, okay, maybe the good part of you wants to think he's like trying to talk himself out of doing this. Like, I don't want to do this. I'm going to let her go. And then at last minute, he's like, nope, I'm doing it. Let's go to the woods. But you're probably right.
Lena, that's your heart thinking that he was probably trying to talk himself out of it. And that's what you would hope that happened. Like, maybe he tried to talk himself. No.
No, that's not who he was.
Was calculated.
Yeah.
And he got off on every single thing he did. Peter claims that he had consensual sex with this woman. And he's like, I didn't have a reason to kill her. In fact, I saw someone I knew at the train station. So that would have got me caught. Like, we had consensual sex and then I let her go. Like, she went on her way. No. Maria did not consent to that. In fact, she wrote to a friend about her ordeal. And her friend contacted police.
Well, good.
So police wanted to talk to Maria. Like, okay, your friend was attacked. She was raped. Why isn't she contacting us?
Mm-hmm.
So they ended up contacting Maria. And she was like, I think I remember where he lives.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ding, ding.
Now, this last crime would be Peter's undoing.
I don't even know.
And here's the thing is, like, Peter was never trying to, just because he slipped in and out when he killed that first little baby, Christine Klein, when he slipped in and out of her house, it wasn't because he was like, I better get out of here before someone sees me. It was just because he was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Gotta go. It didn't seem that anything he did was to cover his tracks.
No. Totally impulsive. To eliminate
evidence. He took the scissors home with him that he had attacked those people with. He cleaned them off. He kept them. It's just like there was no rhyme or reason. So Maria was accompanied by a police officer to Peter's apartment building.
Oh.
Peter was home at the time. And he was like walking out of his apartment and he looks down the stairs. I guess he was like up on a top floor and he like looks down the stairs and he sees Maria down on one of the bottom floors in the building. And he knew who she was. He's like, oh, she's come back. Like, why is she here? And then he sees that she was accompanied by a police officer. And
wow.
I guess she didn't remember which apartment. At the time, she was like, yeah, I think it's this building, but like, I don't remember which apartment. So I don't know if he was like hiding up there the whole time or if he went back into his apartment, but he saw them leave. So he sees them leave and he's like, oh, I bet he crapped his pants. I bet that's the only time he was like, whoa, you know, because like until now, he was like, living out there, just eating Chick-fil-A and stuff,
exactly,
committing these crimes. Now, she must have come back on her own.
No.
Yes. She's probably thinking, I got to figure this out. Like, I know this is the building.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which floor was it on? And when she comes back, she starts talking to the landlady.
Okay.
This time, Peter saw her again.
No, she saw
him.
Okay.
She saw him. And she probably went white as a ghost.
Yeah.
At that time, she did not have law enforcement with her. And she ends up leaving.
Oh, she got away.
Yeah. She's like, I've found him.
Yeah.
It's definitely this, like, I know where he is now.
Mm-hmm.
So Peter goes into his apartment because he was leaving again. He sees Maria.
Mm-hmm.
He goes back into his apartment where his wife is at.
His wife.
That's right. His wife. He's still married this whole time.
Ugh.
You know, the same apartment he took Maria into.
What?
Same apartment he shared with his wife.
Oh my. Mm-hmm. What?
So he goes back into his apartment and he told his wife, I've got to get out of here. And he ended up telling her about Maria. He said that he had her over and they had sex, but that she was probably going to call it rape. And that given his priors, he was worried about going back to prison.
And what does his wife say?
Instead of his wife going, wait a minute, you slept with someone else? and had her in our marital bed.
Right.
She was like, yeah, you better get out of here. You got to leave. So he packed a bag and got a hotel room for a couple days to hopefully let things die down, you know, as they do. So when he felt like the coast was clear, he returned home to his apartment building.
And how long was that?
It had been just a few days.
Okay.
So as he returns home, this is like a movie or like a silly slapstick
I feel like
TV
I've
show comedy or something like this. So he gets home, and as he's like going up to his apartment, he sees two detectives leaving his apartment. His apartment.
Okay. Perfect timing.
Like his apartment. Uh-huh. And he's like, what? He must have hid. And once they left, he went inside and he's like, oh, my wife's home. And he was like, why aren't you at work? And she's like, well, I was at work until these two detectives came and escorted me back home and wanted to search our apartment.
Okay.
Peter surprises me here. This is where he surprises me. He admits multiple times in his interviews with Dr. Berg his affinity for his wife.
Hmm.
It's the only time he seems to have any sort of like feeling bad for his actions, like he had disappointed
her
in a way.
How crazy.
And even if he's lying, Elena, even if he's lying about that, that surprises me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
absolutely.
To say it's her, like she's the only one I care about. Like, I just feel like you don't find that in psychopaths where they're like, I would never do anything to hurt that person. You know,
I mean, she's been there with him.
Yeah.
She's stuck by him. She's,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know what they're.
For all these years, he was brutally attacking people, killing people, terrorizing his community, the community his wife lives in. And he's still married to Frau Curtin this whole time.
What?
Now, because of his latest crimes, Maria Butley's, Peter knew that it was only a matter of time before police showed up to arrest him. The police had already been there twice. Maria had already been there twice. And he was like, it's only a matter of time before they're back and I'm here. So he wanted to prepare her. This is in Peter's words. He wanted to prepare her for what was coming. So he told her about Gertrude Schulte, the woman he took out into the field and raped before she was saved by some passersby. But he spun it as another affair.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Not a crime. His wife now is devastated because she's like, okay, you've now, in the space of what, weeks, you've slept with two different women.
Right.
And like, so she doesn't know that the reality is
so
far
much
worse than she could ever even imagine. And she didn't know what was going to become of her. She told Peter, like, if this girl cries rape, mm-hmm, and you didn't rape her and you get sent to prison, I'm screwed. Like, I'll lose our apartment. I can't afford this apartment on my own. Like, I'll be in destitute. Like, I will have no place to live.
Yeah.
She was
so
freaking out.
So many emotions. Oh.
Yeah, she's freaking out. And so Peter says, okay, I got to tell you one more thing.
Oh.
And he told her that he was the Dusseldorf murderer.
He told her.
And she's like, say what?
I think I'd pass out.
She's like, the children? And he's like, yeah. She's like, why? Like, why would you? Why? And he's like, I can't help myself.
I can't help myself.
Yeah.
Like.
And she was like, I don't even know what to do right now.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
So Peter says, this is how Peter says it went down. Peter says, I told her she should turn me into police and she would get the reward money because I guess at this time they had built a reward. And you'll be financially set. This is what Peter says to Dr. Burke that happens. Later, though, his wife, Frau, when she's interviewed, she said, no, I turned him in because he's a freaking serial killer. Like, he didn't tell me to turn him in. Like, he didn't tell me about any reward. I turned him in.
Oh, yeah.
So May 24th, 1930, Frau and Peter Curtin went walking to the church square where police were surrounding the square waiting for Peter, and he was arrested without incident.
She said, this is how it's going down.
She's like, come on, take a walk with me. Now Peter was in custody. I'm sure everyone...
In the square.
In the square. Yeah. I'm sure everyone down at the station, though, wanted to see this guy. They're like, I have got to see this man. Like, they're probably like, oh, I think I left my pen in the interrogation room. It won't be a moment. No, y'all carry on. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to grab my pen. And, like, they're probably walking by, looking in the window, you know... And here is where Professor Carl Berg enters the picture. He was able to develop a rapport, a trust with Peter. And Peter ultimately confessed to 79 separate crimes total.
Wow.
That was the arsons, the beatings, the stranglings, the knife attacks, the hammer attacks, the time he went down in that church cellar and got the axe, all of that. 79 crimes.
78. Like, and how do you keep track of all that?
It was in his mind. He was proud. He was proud of everything he had done. Without prompting, he confessed all of his crimes to police, all of them. And all the while, Peter tells Dr. Berg that he was so cooperative so that his wife would get the reward money. But really, he wanted to talk about what he had done.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted to relive his crimes. He was proud of his work. And he was like, oh, yeah, by the way, those three murders that Johannes went down for, that was me. Peter Curtin's trial at the Dusseldorf Criminal Court began April 13th, 1931. The hands of justice were turning very quickly in this case. They were not letting any time go by. They're like, let's get this guy gone.
Yes.
And it only lasted 10 days. Though they had a full confession, they did call witnesses to the stand to corroborate the accounts of the murders, to provide evidence to the courts. The jury found him guilty of 9 counts of murder and 7 counts of attempted murder. And he was sentenced to death. Peter was unbothered. Do you know Wade Wilson? Have you heard of this guy? He's in the recent news. He's a heinous murderer and his face is covered in tattoos. He looks like a clown.
Yes, yes.
Well, I watched his sentencing and they sentenced him to death and he was just like, oh, like yawning and like he could not even be bothered. This was Peter. He was like, okay.
Oh,
like,
my goodness.
When can I get something to drink? He had no remorse about the victims that he had slaughtered. No feelings about the fact that he was going to die. He didn't have any problem with the charges or the punishment. The only thing he wanted to say was how the stories were remembered. So, like, he didn't like the way the prosecution talked about the murders. Like, he wanted to correct some things. Like,
that's not how it happened.
He wanted to control the narrative there about his crimes. And in his final statement, he took the opportunity to correct the prosecutor, saying, quote, "You're incorrect in saying that I tortured my victims because I didn't." End quote. And then he asked for forgiveness, but it's not what you think. It wasn't like, please forgive me. I'm so sorry for what I've done. It's like, basically, I'm going to die for this. So you really ought to forgive me because there's no point in...
That this is going to be your closure, basically.
Yeah, exactly. He was like, I'm going to die for my crimes. So you should forgive me because you shouldn't have hatred in your heart. And it was really more of like... his own self. It was like how their energy was directed at him.
Oh, wow.
It was in no way, shape, or form like him actually trying to...
So twisted.
...apologize and get forgiveness from these families. He was like, you just ought to do that. You should forgive me. Now, Peter claimed to have a conscience despite his crimes.
I don't believe it.
But the only thing he said he felt bad for at the end of the day, he did not feel bad about any of the murders, any of the rapes, any of the attacks, any of the arsons. He felt really bad for committing adultery because his wife was hardworking and didn't deserve it.
No, she didn't. No, neither did anybody else. That's sweet.
Like, aw. Like, and if you can't tell, that's sarcasm. Peter continued meeting with Dr. Berg after his conviction and up until his execution, providing additional details to his crimes and expressing his lust for bloodshed. And this is what I mean is, like, he could not stop talking about it. And every time he would be re-interviewed, he would add more details about, like, when I say lust for bloodshed, I don't mean metaphorically. I mean, he literally lusted for the blood so much that he said that when the blood would rush out of his victim's wounds, he would drink it.
No.
Hence the name, the Dusseldorf Vampire.
But how do you just go home after doing all this and pretend it didn't happen? And he had self-control at home because she had no idea of these things, supposedly.
Yeah,
you,
I mean,
how do you be two different people?
I mean, we see it a lot, don't we?
I know.
We
see it a lot. It's a rhetorical question.
Not to this extent, though. Like, just the absolute heinousness and unspeakable nature of his crimes. One of Peter's final things that he said to Dr. Berg was, quote, "Tell me, after my head is chopped off, will I still be able to hear, at least for a moment, the sound of my own blood gushing from the stump of my neck? That would be the pleasure to end all pleasures." End
what?
Quote.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Until the very end, Peter was the most heinous form of evil that is worse than anyone could imagine. You could never write a book about this. You could never write a work of fiction about somebody like this. It's too much.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the type of book you would stop reading and be like, no, they've gone too far here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He is, you know the movie, My Best Friend's Wedding? He is the pus that feeds on the mucus that lives on the pond scum. He is so below.
Yeah.
It's just unfathomable. But July 2nd, 1931, Peter was led to the guillotine. His head was placed on the wood block, and the blade came crashing down, cutting off his head.
Wow.
Chop. Chop suey. Dead. Deceased.
Wow.
And the crowd went wild.
I'm sure.
Now, I wasn't kidding. I was not kidding when I said, when Peter was caught, people wanted to get inside this guy's head. Like, it wasn't just Dr. Berg and his psychoanalytics, you know. People wanted to literally crack his head open and see what was inside. Is there a brain in there?
What did they find?
Is it black mush? When Peter was executed, scientists took his head and they sliced it open, and they removed his brain, and they wanted to study it. They wanted to compare his brain to nonviolent, like people who had nonviolent lives.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, how thorough the studies were of his brain, but it's reported that they examined the gray matter and his brain structures and found no significant difference between his brain and the control brains. I assume they would have looked at more than one brain in the control group.
Okay.
But again, I can't find any report or, like, scientific report. And believe me, that's the kind of stuff I sit up at night reading. Like, that interests me and gets me going.
Right.
I would have
loved to try to understand, but I mean,
they wanted to have a look and say, you know, what's going on. And we do know nowadays, we know that psychopathic brains are different. Like their structures are different. Their MRIs are different. Their activity is different. Mm-hmm. So maybe they didn't have the technology in the 30s.
I wouldn't expect so.
Yeah. To say, oh, this is enlarged. This is, you know, they couldn't test the active parts of the brain at that time, I guess.
Right.
So listen to this. This is great. Somehow his noggin ends up in the hands of an American antique dealer. And this antique dealer, he specialized in collecting like really strange items that no one else has. I'll say.
Yeah.
We don't really know how he got a hold of it. I suspect it was like some like underground market or whatever. But when this antique dealer died, his collection was auctioned off.
No way.
And Ripley's, believe it or not,
mm-hmm.
purchased Peter Curtin's head.
But how do they know for sure it's his?
Oh, it's him. You could tell. So Peter's head was bisected and mummified, and it's on display at Ripley's, believe it or not, in Wisconsin Dells.
What?
And it's in this guillotine-shaped case, and it's like turning in the air. I'll post pictures of it on our Patreon, and I'll also post a video of it on our Patreon. It's free to join, by the way, if you want to see it. But there's more. People claim that his ghost still lingers around his head.
Oh my goodness.
Like people are saying there's like weird noises and shadowy figures. And here I say, I call BS on this because Peter Curtin's ghost would be malevolent. Okay. He would be destroying. He'd be cracking the walls and bringing the roof down. Like there's no way he'd be like turning on the air dryers in the bathroom.
Oh, come on. Right.
Just to tease people. Like he would not be a cheeky ghost. No. That sounds like cheeky ghost type of stuff. Like turning the lights on and off. That's not.
Mm-mm.
No. Anyways, if you want to see the photos and the videos of Peter's head splayed, opened, his brain is not there, but you can see the grimace that was on his face when his head was chopped off. It's, you know, at least we can end it on that. You know, like his head is spinning for everyone to see, and just what he did in his life, what he wasted his life doing, terrorizing a community and killing people of all ages, all genders. Like it's just,
yeah. And all for what?
All for
just
what?
Self-satisfaction.
Because he liked it.
Yeah.
Because he liked it.
It's pure evil.
So you brought up this earlier. Why was Maria Hahn buried and nobody else was buried?
Right.
Well, why were these two sisters dead at the market?
Yeah.
Why was the one woman beat with a hammer? Why was this man attacked and pushed in down in a ditch? You know, it's like,
and why did he let one woman come to his home and then attack her and leave her alive?
It was like he was flying by the seat of his pants.
Yeah.
Other than like taking scissors with him or a weapon with him. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he didn't take a weapon with him and he found a weapon on the way. It was just like whatever he felt like doing. And we talked about what were the police doing.
Mm-hmm.
They were probably chasing their tails because they were trying to think of a victim profile first. Like in order to find a criminal profile, you have to like, what does the victimology say about it? But the victimology says nothing about it almost.
No.
Okay, you could argue that maybe he did attacks in threes and then he had cooling down periods, but that there really wasn't any pattern in that because it was a man, a woman, a child. You know what I mean? It was never the same weapon. It was like his stabbing was just frenzied and
and as many as victims as there were.
Yeah.
I mean, they were busy doing other things. How do you keep up?
I mean, they probably had 8 boxes and they're like, we cannot put these cases together fast enough.
Yeah.
Because it's just like terrorizing.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, I will say Peter is gone, done and dusted. We're never talking about the guy again.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. Yeah. Well, thank you for telling the stories of all of these precious lives that were taken.
Ooh, it's heartbreaking.
It is.
It's really heartbreaking. My heart breaks for the families of serial killer victims because it always goes back to the perpetrator. It's always like Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, wait, who's Ted Bundy's victims again? How many were there? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like you couldn't name all his victims like right now. You couldn't name all of Jeffrey Dahmer's victims. John Wayne Gacy. I mean, we remember the serial killers' names, but we don't remember.
I know.
The wake.
Yeah. That is sad.
Yeah. It's so sad. And like to know that you lost your child and all anyone can remember is Peter Curtin's name.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I really, really hope that by bringing these victim stories to light, even though it was so painful to research and
to listen to
repeat, like some of the stuff I've had to repeat from my research is heinous and terrible to talk about.
Yeah.
And I know you haven't enjoyed listening to it.
No.
So thank you guys if you have stuck around. Like truly thank you, because it really is about the victims and getting their names out there. So thank you for listening. Let's all go get on our knees and pray about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I don't know, have a shot. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, that was great. Let's do it again sometime.
Bye. Gotta go. Bye.
Bye, y'all.
Thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. Get connected with us by becoming a free member on our Patreon. Or for just $5 a month, you'll have access to bonus episodes, discussion groups, and much more. If you can't afford $5 a month, we get it. Inflation, am I right? Please consider leaving us a positive review and rating wherever you listen.
And don't forget merch. Support our podcast and show the love by sporting t-shirts with our latest designs, or grab an evidence bag to keep the chain of custody for all your valuables. Don't forget to follow our show on your favorite streaming app so you never miss an episode, and get photos and updates on our Instagram at Cousins on Crime Podcast or our Cousins on Crime Facebook page. Have a case suggestion? Email us at cousinsoncrime@gmail.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.